Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message.
We're studying from God's Word on the importance of foundations. Foundations are so important because if your foundations are weak, whatever you build can fall off. A lot of times people build beyond what their foundations can hold. I was thinking of this young couple, you know, they purchased a house and I was so happy to go and do the housewarming. And after a few years, so sad to see both of them fighting in the court on a divorce, and they separated. The more I got into the details, it was so sad to see that they had put all their efforts into building a house while their very foundations of home, of family, was not done properly. You know, a lot of times we try to build things without putting our foundations right. And this month, the Lord's guiding us to strengthen our foundations. We started with the importance of praying effective prayers. And last Sunday, we dealt with the importance of studying God's Word and God's Word becoming a very important component as the foundation of our lives. And today, I want us to realize and study from God's Word on the fact that unless our foundations are strong enough in terms of spiritual warfare, everybody here, we have a battle to do. Oh, Pastor, I like that cute Christianity. I know you're cute looking, but you got a cute looking battle too. You are a soldier for Jesus. The day you are born again, you are not only in the family of God, you're also in the army of God. I don't look like that, Pastor. Yeah, you don't look like that, but you are not a look like that, but soldier. You are a soldier. But Pastor, I don't feel like it. Correct. You are a soldier who doesn't feel like it. You are a soldier for the Lord. And that's the reality. God has a loved spiritual battle in every Christian life. Sometimes it becomes very serious and people feel it and it's visible. A lot of times it's not visible. People don't feel it. But spiritual battle is a reality. You all are very serious, so let me look for a joke. So this is a joke about one lady who got a call from her daughter. Her daughter was very sick. And her daughter called her and said, "Ma, come home fast. I fainted, I fell down, and I'm vomiting. I'm feeling giddy. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid I'm going to die." So the mother, as a single parent, immediately spoke to the people at her work and said, I need to rush home. And they gave her permission. So she came to the car park, pulled out her car, and she's rushing back home, and it's raining heavily. In the rain, she's rushing back to the house, just anxious about her daughter. As she's rushing back, she remembered, I have to buy some medicines for my daughter. So she pulled up near a medical store and she purchased all the medicines, and it's raining. It's heavy rain. She's fully drenched. As she's walking back to the car and trying to open the car, that's when she remembered she did a very foolish thing in that hurry. She left the key of the car in the car, left the mobile in the car, and locked the car manually in that hurry. And now key of the car is in the car. Car is locked. She's not able to open the car. Mobile is also inside. She pulled the handle, kicked the door, did, you know, initial tantrum, and then ran to the drugstore and requested, "Can someone come?" People tried to come in that hopeless rain, by the way. And they all got drenched. They tried to open the car. Can't do anything. She just prayed, "God help me." Because, you know, how long will people stand in the rain? She's alone. She's just trying to break the glass because she's so concerned. And she can see her mobile ringing inside. but you know, can't take the mobile. So anxious. That's when another car comes beside her. It's like a semi truck, and the fellow gets out of that car. He's a giant. No hair on the head, full tattoos, scar marks on the face. He's a criminal. Looks a criminal. And this lady, in the desperation, she said, "Sir, can you please break the glass of my car? You're a strong man. Just break it for me. I need to go home. My daughter is sick." He just came to her gently and said, "Calm down, madam. It's raining. Just give me a minute." And he did something. In 2 minutes, the door opened. She was shocked. She looked at that guy and thought, "This must be some ugly looking angel from God." And she looked at that man and she said, "Sir, how did you do this? Thank you." He said, "Ma'am, in this rain, just don't tell anybody you identified or saw me. I just broke open the prison. I'm a prisoner. I just broke open the jail and I'm running away from the jail. I'm a professional car thief." She looked up to God and said, "God, you're so good. You sent me a professional to help." Not always is it from God. Sometimes there are spiritual battles in life which we have to win through structured and righteous ways that God wants us to have. One of the biggest weakness of a Christian, is not just the lack of prayer. It's not just the lack of holiness. It's not just the lack of giving to God. What is the biggest weakness of a child of God? There are a couple of those, but one that really intrigued me was from the book of 1 Peter. It's ignorance. Ignoring the devil is one of the biggest weaknesses of a child of God. Yes, we should not focus on the devil, but there is a balance. We shouldn't ignore the devil either. Sometimes we become so extreme in one way, and that itself is a problem. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon." And so the Bible is saying, to become a spiritual winner, you must be well balanced. Let's say that together. We must be well. You know, the word balance is very important in Christian life. Sometimes we are too extreme in one way, too traditional in another way, too spiritually, you know, revived in another way. But there are some other parts of our life that we ignore. Sometimes some people get into such a religious excitement that they ignore their financial duties, or they ignore their relationship duties, or they ignore their educational duties, and then they somehow hope that because they are faithful to God, you know, something magic will happen on the other side. And they are not well balanced. And when you're not well balanced in your Christian life, chances are the devil will win the battle against you. You see, it's very important that we be well balanced. Shall we say that again? We gotta be. "I like ice cream, Pastor, but my dad doesn't give me as much ice cream as I like." Yeah, that's because your dad is a responsible parent and he knows you need a well-balanced diet. That's because your family is well-balanced and they know that sports is not all you need. You need some education too. Wherever there is a balance, extremes are sometimes avoided. And the Bible tells us that we as God's children should not ignore the devil. Don't be ignorant. Why? Because a well-balanced approach is very important to our foundational Christian life. And that is how we will win. The devil is not a lion. The devil is not a lion. He roams around like a teenager in Brigade Road, looking for whom to devour. Sorry, that was extreme, but he's looking for whom to devour, like a lion. He's not a lion. Cat on the road suddenly sees a dog. Have you seen that skinny little cat with this, you know, slim little tail? Suddenly its fur is all standing like missiles, and its fur has become, tail has become so thick. It's a very natural response that genetics, that evolution, that creation, that it has developed, that God has given it inherently, which it uses, that when it sees a dog, all its soft little fur that was so well combed suddenly stands up, making it look like as if it's double the size it really was, as if it just, stopped its morning walk and it's not having proper diet, it's just overeating. No, it just suddenly looks double big. Why? It wants the dog to know, I'm not as small as you thought, I'm bigger than that. A lot of times the devil comes to you, he knows he's not able to stand against you. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now the devil knows that. And so he acts like that cat. You can look at the devil and tell him, I don't want to look too long on you because you're acting like a lion. Who is the true lion of the tribe of Judah? His name is Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. Hallelujah. He is roaring like a lion. Amen. If the devil ever came as a human being, every Oscar award would go to him. He is an actor. Manichand award would go to him. He is an actor. He is a performer. He is not real because compared to you, he is nothing. Many people think that the devil fights against God. Where did all the spiritual battles start? It started in heaven. It is an export quality. It started in heaven. Spiritual battle didn't start in the earth. It started in heaven against God. And God, by his word, kicked the devil out. Devil can't fight God. Devil fight God's rule in your life. Devil fights God's plan in your life. Devil can't fight God. God is so huge. He can't fight God. He can't stand before God. He can't speak against God in the presence of God. When he comes before God, he's trembling. The Bible says in the book of James, even the devil trembles at the name of God. Devil is scared of God. You are not scared. Devil is scared. Many of us are not scared of God because we don't know how great God is. But devil knows how great God is. So he's scared of God. He's afraid of God. He cannot fight God. He doesn't try to fight God also. He fights the plan of God. He fights the creation of God. He fights the people of God. Some people have made devil so big that, oh, devil is fighting against God. Hey, devil will never go to fight God because God is so huge. He can't pick a fight against God. So he fights the plan of God in your life. This began on the earth, in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, war began. How did the war begin? One lady and the devil became friends. Finished. One lady and the devil became pally. You see, what happened? What happens is... What happens is this. A lot of times we think the devil will come to attack me like that fluffy cat. No. Many times the devil will come to attack you like a friend. That is where we don't recognize the devil. He comes like an addiction. He comes like a sad depression. He comes like a friendly bottle buddy. He comes like that guy in the elevator who says, you smell nice today. He comes like that. Now, don't go curse anyone who says you smell nice. That's not the point. The point is, a lot of times the devil doesn't come to you with weapons and armory. He comes to you in deception, and you don't realize that it's not only enemy sending missiles against you, which is a war, but even the honey trap is a war. It is a war. How do you know if you are in a spiritual battle? Now, every child of God is in a spiritual battle. You don't choose the enemy. It's the enemy who has chosen you. It's not like you decide, okay, I'll be at war. No, the devil's decided there is war and you don't have a choice. You're on the other side of the fence and you're standing in the victory God has given you. You're just fighting to maintain that victory. But however, Sometimes there are seasons of excessive battles. And if you're not founded on God's word and your foundational belief system, if you don't understand spiritual warfare, we can lose the battle. Many have lost the battle. But thankfully, the Bible is full of people who have won the battle, and we can continue to be winners too. Some signs that you may be going through an excessive season of spiritual battle. Are you all enjoying God's word today? Signs that you may be going through an excessive spiritual battle in a season. Examples, one, fatigue. Not because of physiology, not because you're overworked, but generally feeling tired, hopeless, feeling guilty unnecessarily, going through remarkable confusion, which is not usual, or bouts of anxiety and fear, constant worry about uncertainty, expectation of evil unnecessarily beyond what is normal, or stress, just tension that comes by fatigue or anxiety, or simply stress. I mean, everybody has stress in life, but then sometimes there is stress beyond usual. The other day I was praying for kids in kids' church. 2 weeks ago I went there to pray. Kids are having exams, so before I came to preach here, I went there to pray for them. And fifth standard onwards, no? Exams. So I asked them, how do you feel? These fifth standard kids are telling me, tension. Fifth standard kids. I asked that boy and girl, which class? Fifth standard. Tension. I thought in my mind, grow up and you'll know what tension is. Your fifth standard exam paper is like a joke book to us. Grow up and you'll know what is tension. Another one said, stress. I said, yeah. I'll pray. God will help you with stress. I don't know from where they learned these words. These are words that you have not even qualified to experience. Dad will come and drop you. Mom will come and pick you up. Invigilator is there to give you water in between. P1 is there to carry your bag. And stress. Fifth standard. Stress. Our days, we had to walk 5 kilometers. Shoe has to be polished. If you are 2 minutes late, finish. Principal will make you stand. You have to go search your desk out. There's no one to help you. And still it was a joy. But they're in spiritual battle, sometimes people go through undue stress. Not what I just told about. But actual stress, which is unnecessary. Which is not at all required. Why is that additional stress coming? It could be a spiritual battle. Temptation is a definite sign of spiritual battle. What is temptation? The easiest definition of temptation is anything that makes you feel like enjoying the wrong. Anything that makes you feel like finding joy in what is wrong, negative, improper. That's a temptation. Losses and troubles which are unreasonable, like unnecessary sicknesses which have no basis, which just happen, you know, keep happening frequently, getting accidents, abuses, sometimes through childhood experiences of trauma, losses, troubles, can sometimes be a sign of extended spiritual battle in the invisible world. Sometimes these things happen because of poor handling of time and talents and energy. Now, that's different. But there are times, dysfunctional relationships, somebody going through a spiritual battle can sometimes have a delayed marriage or a marriage that was not handled right or a marriage that's become dysfunctional. Relationships that are going sour, started as friends, good partners, but all of a sudden the relationship, the business is going down. Not able to understand why things are not working out. It could be a part of demonic attack, which is happening from a very invisible area. And that's why we must not forget one thing. The more you look at yourself in these seasons, you can feel more pride or more shame or variations in between. But the more you look at God in these seasons, you will come up with greater courage and greater honor, and you will walk with greater victory. Peter was going through a situation. He was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water. And he said to the Lord, "Lord, can I walk on the water with you?" Jesus said, "Come, Peter." And it's so interesting. I don't know whether he jumped out of the boat or he was testing the waters. He finally started walking on the water. And the Bible says, when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves, he began sinking in the water. He cried out and looked at Jesus. Again, he began to walk on the water. I think the proportion is very clear. You want to walk on the water? Look at Jesus. You want to sink in the water? Take your eyes off Jesus. You see, Peter's walking on the water had nothing to do with what people were commenting sitting on the boat or in the beach. Peter walking on water had nothing to do with the power of gravitation or his physical weight. Peter walking on water had nothing to do about his past or his future. It all depended on where the eyeballs were focused. If he was looking at Christ, he was walking on the water. If he took off his eyes of Christ, he was sinking in the water. This morning, somebody's learning something. Keep, when you're going through spiritual battle, don't focus on the enemy. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on his call in your life, his anointing in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, and the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, there are negative catalysts that we should be careful to avoid, especially in the time of a spiritual battle. What are negative catalysts? Chemistry lab. Professor says, add those two chemicals and see what result you get. You add those two chemicals, nothing is happening. It's like some people during worship service. Come on, clap. Nothing is happening. They'll stand. Chemicals are like that sometimes. Then they use a catalyst. They use a third chemical to make the first and second react. That's an open door for the devil. That's a red carpet welcome. Negative habits can become strongholds for the devil to attack us. See, because Christ is in us, devil can't come in and attack us. So what he does is he makes holes in us which are strong for him to handle. So he'll stand out and handle us by creating the holes in us. It's called stronghold in the Bible language. Sometimes they are addictions. They are habits. Sometimes they are pleasures that have become things we require but which are against God's word. These become a part of the strongholds the devil uses. Some people, it's things like anger. It's things like indiscipline. It's things like affinity towards being sad unnecessarily. Those negative habits, they become strongholds in the hands of the devil. Sometimes unworthy relationships. Relationships that are definitely not worthy of that kind of a commitment, that kind of a deep availability, and you put yourself in that position, it becomes an opportunity for the evil to use that to control you. And that is so wrong. Cultic tendencies, cultish relationships, soulish ties, or sexual perversions. Whenever you take the gift of sex, which is meant to be within the context of marriage, and use it anyway outside the scriptural mandate, it becomes a stronghold for the enemy. And you see, it's like this. When we cooperate with the demonic world in good seasons of life, don't be surprised that without repentance, you're finding it difficult to get miracles from God. Because when you cooperate with the devil, all you get is results of demonic disadvantage. Repent of those and start cooperating with God in both good and bad times. And that's when you start getting answers from God. Remove wrong principles from life. Wrong principles lead to disasters. Okay, I'll tell you one story. Last week, I think it was, just a few days ago, I was, sometimes, you know, wrong principles can come in very, how do I say this? Very nice, it comes in nice looking ways. Wrong principles. I didn't have time for lunch, I was traveling, but I stopped in Yalahanka because I found a tender coconut vendor. And I thought, okay, I'll have a tender coconut, no time for lunch. So I stopped by, and that lady was so kind. She walked up to me, I rolled down the glass, I said, can you give me one? She said, of course. And she asked me what type, and I told her, and she cut the thing, and she brought it to me, and I asked her, how much does it cost? And she told me how much it cost, I think 35 bucks. So I finished drinking. She saw I finished, and so she walked back to me, and she said, can I open it for you? I said, sure. She said, you don't get out, you'll be seated. I said, thanks. I gave her the stuff, she opened it. By the time I took the money, kept it, and she came, she gave it back to me. I was eating the cream. I gave her the 50 bucks, and I said, here it is. She said, okay. She went back. Again, she came back with the change and to take the remains, what was in my hand. And I gave it to her, and I said, you keep the change. I don't want the change. You really served me. Thank you. Please keep the change. And she says, beda sir, nan tagalala. I don't want, I won't take. I said, ma'am, take it, it's okay. You've really been kind to me, you keep the change. She said, I don't want money that I don't work for. The way I looked at her, she thought I'm going to force her. So she held it out and said, take it. I said, why don't you keep it? She said, no, sir, I don't want money I don't earn. I don't want money I don't work for. I told her, it's a tip for you. She said, no, you're very kind, but keep it with you. I said, okay. I took it. And I was thinking, what a spectrum of a world we live in. One group of fellows who don't do anything except stealing money, and another group of people who feel it is wrong to even take a gift. Sometimes we have this hard, wrong decisions in mind. And so even if God sends you a favor, you're not able to receive it. I'll tell you another story, a true story. William Carey is the father of missions in India. William Carey started the Serampore University. In his movie, his biography, autobiography, in a movie that depicts his life, there's this beautiful story, but a sad story, about how they become hungry without food. And he and his wife, they don't have food to eat. And a Bengali Brahmin family walks up to them and says, look, out of our agriculture, this is the produce we got. We want to give you some, share it with you, because you're good people. So William Carey is going to take it, and his wife says, sorry, we will not take it. We are English people. We have to live out of the hard work we do and not out of somebody's charity. It's wrong for us to live on charity. And they lived hungry for a few more days. When you have wrong thinking, even if God sends you an answer, you can't take it. And when you have wrong thinking, sometimes you'll take it from the devil also. Having right thinking is very important. And our thinking should come from the scripture. Our thinking should come from the Holy Bible. When it comes to friendships, be careful not to develop unworthy friendships and live with unproven friends. When they give you an idea, first check whether they know what they're talking about. Number three, oh, this is good preaching. There's a big difference between loving somebody and trusting somebody. These become huge strongholds, especially during spiritual warfare. They're so lovable, Pastor. Love them. When it comes to trusting them, When it comes to trusting, love them. Pastor, they're selling a property. I know them from 30 years. Very good. Take the documents, give it to an advocate. No, I know them. Hey, listen to what we're telling. The Bible says, in business, be men. That's not a gender bias. It's just talking old language of be meaningful, be reasonable. When it comes to business, Don't open doors for the demonic world to cheat you, and then you get upset with your friend and you're upset with yourself and you can't trust anybody because you violated some simple basic rules of the scripture. Love doesn't mean trust. Trust doesn't mean love. You can trust that advocate to win the case, but you can't love him to bring him home. You can trust that doctor to cure you, but you can't love him that you don't check what you're paying or consult a second consultation. It's a difference between love and trust. I love him, Pastor, but I don't know if you can trust him for marriage. Father God, I've irritated people beyond what they can handle. Forgive them, Lord. Discern the difference between what is lovable and what is trustable. And all the young people said, anything, anything, you say anything, just respond, just show me you are still here. Discern the difference, because this becomes ways through which the devil cheats us, where the devil takes us through hellfire. Last week I was in Bombay for a day, and me and my wife, and one of the open questions somebody asked me is, have you been hurt? Have you been defeated? Have you been cheated financially? I told these people, I hate you for such questions, because it just makes you so vulnerable that you have to say the truth. Why do you ask like this? They said, we want to know. One guy said, you look so intelligent, so I'm wondering if that ever happened to you. I said, thanks, but good looks are deceptive. I have gone through it. I and my wife, I was telling them, now that I told them, why can't I tell you? I'll tell you. I told them not to record it. Same thing here. 20 years ago, one fellow came to me, very good believer. He'll do anything for the Lord. And took church money from me and went off. 3 months I tried to get it back. Then I understood. He's named it, claimed it. He's got more faith of keeping it than I have faith of getting it back. I told my wife, we were just married. I said, listen, I don't want to lose my peace over this. We've lost this. This guy cheated us. My wife, poor thing, she trusted me so much. She said, do whatever you want. I had to literally sell things we got as gifts during the wedding. We had to sell things from the house. It took us 10 months to recover. I couldn't tell the church that I'm a stupid pastor, just lost your money. I couldn't do that. So I couldn't tell the church anything. I told the church nothing, but anyway, took a loan, repaid everything. After that, I told the people in Mumbai, I've done deals worth hundreds of crores. But from the smallest to the biggest, brother, how are you? Pastor, nice pastor. Come with your documents. Come. This is the advocate. This is the auditor. This is the so-and-so. Let's go through the system. Pastor, it is me. I know you, bro. What is there? No problem. I love you. But when it comes to trusting things, so pastor, you don't trust anybody? I trust everybody. I love everybody. But if somebody doesn't like to go through the process, then I have a problem with them. Why do you have a problem with process? Let's go through the process. I love my wife, she loves me, but still we married. No, it's a process. There's a process. It's a documentation. Don't give room for the devil through foolishness. See, that's why the Bible says, be well balanced. A lot of times spiritual warfare means, oh, he'll come in the night, we'll rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Hey, a lot of times he comes as a friend. And it's not that your friend wanted to cheat you. It's not that your partner wanted to let you down. But when you make mistakes, the devil uses that opportunity to create unnecessary problems. And when things are not in order, your victory is not sure. And that's why God tells us, be wise in what you do. Number one, have character as an armor. Let's say that together. Have Your armory should be your character. You don't have to borrow a weapon from somewhere. That weapon should become your character. Hallelujah. Today I pastor a fairly large church in this country, and I deal with all kinds of people, and I don't have burnt fingers, and I don't have stress. I don't have anger with anybody. Why? I just follow simple principles, simple as that. Pastor, do that. Pastor, do this. Sure, let's do it in the right way. I still get into struggles. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is the principalities and the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So never pick up personal fights. Never pick up personal fights. Amen. Never pick up personal fights. Have character as an armory. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and we're going to close. Stand therefore having... This is the Christian armory. How many want to have spiritual victory? Can I see your hands way up high? Okay, others also, anyway you read. Stand therefore, fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as, having put on the, in all circumstances, take up the, with which you can extinguish all the. And finally, the Bible is saying, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the, amen. Six things that are given there. Number one, belt of truth. Belt should be of truth. See, if you are going to walk in dishonesty of life, falsehood of life, and victory, it won't come. Belt. The devil will say, hey, my belt you're wearing and fighting me. If you want victory in the spirit world, wear the belt of Christ. It's a belt of truth. So truth, not social truth, not traditional truth, not Catholic or Protestant truth, but scriptural truth. Truth should be the belt, the thing that holds everything else together. Second, breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, two types. One, righteousness that comes by as a gift because of your faith in God. And second, actions of righteousness. Breastplate. Breastplate means it covers from below the neck. Third, shoes of the gospel of peace. Not gospel of proving which God is greater. Not the gospel of arguing. Not the gospel of fighting. But the gospel of peace. That's the shoes you wear. This has to become a lifestyle. Number four, shield of faith. Oh, I love this. This shield of faith not only stops the arrows that come against you, but it will put out, it will douse the flames. Because those days, no? Those days they didn't have missiles, no? Their old method of missile was they'll take an arrow and they will also take a cloth, dip it in oil and tie that oiled cloth at the back of the arrow and set the arrow back on fire and shoot the arrow. So the fiery arrow will go and fall in the enemy camp. So even if the enemy does not get hit by the arrow, wherever the arrow falls, those tent will catch fire. Okay? So this is the olden days missile. Now the Bible is saying your shield of faith is so strong, it will not only stop that arrow, but it will put out the fire that the devil is sending against you. That's the power of the shield of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Actionable faith. Faith not just that you keep murmuring, but faith that you put into lifestyle. Faith that has actions as your faith is alive. Number five, helmet of salvation. What is that? A mind of assurance that I am a child of God. When the devil comes against you, remember the cat acting big? Don't stand confused. Am I a child of God? No, you should carry that assurance. I belong to Jesus. I am a mind of assurance. Wear the helmet of salvation. But pastor, I'm not perfect. So what? Devil is not at all perfect. At least you're a child of God. So you're stronger. Devil is strong. But compared to you, because of Christ in you, he's a hopeless case. He has no chance. Amen. Number six, I love this sword. Somebody shout sword.
Sword.
But this is not sword of memory. It is not sword of family. It is sword of the Spirit. You can't take the sword of the Spirit and use it like how you want. It will work only when you allow the Holy Spirit to use it. When the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and uses it, man, it will... If you go to a kitchen, there are different types of knives. Small knife for vegetable, bigger knife for meats, and then another type of knife for another thing. But this one is enough. For everything, one sword. One sword. One sword for that curse, for that bondage, for that evil, for that spirit of death, for that witchcraft. One sword. Allow the Holy Spirit to use God's word. Amen. When God's word gets inspired in your spirit and you speak the word of God, that creative miracle will happen in the name of Jesus. It happens immediately by the... Go ahead, give God a big hand. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I have decided I have to stop preaching in 40 minutes. Even if you complain, I'll stop. Now, but I already crossed 43 minutes. But point is, one lady... She was sick for many years. She actually was not in Bangalore. She shifted to Bangalore, started coming to our church. Then she stopped coming because she was very sick. She called me to pray in her house. I went to her house, and her house was filled with Christian stickers and wall hangers, and even the pillow of the bed pillow had scripture on it, embroidered. A lot of scriptures. I am the Lord who will never leave you. I will heal you. So many scriptures. Then I prayed with her. I couldn't understand why she's going through this. One day I prayed with her, but another time when I met her, I asked her, "Sister, you're always speaking these scriptures. Are you focused? Are you focusing your mind?" And she said, "Pastor, that's my biggest problem. I'm speaking the scripture, but my mind is somewhere else." Then I told her, "You might as well sing Baba Black Sheep. Have you any wool? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Twinkle, twinkle, little star." There is no point in doing rosary kind of scripture. Scripture has power when the Spirit picks it up. And then it becomes a sword, not of the hand. It's a sword of the Spirit which is spoken. She understood it. She said, "I got it." After a few days, I got a phone call. She said, "Pastor, 2-3 days ago, I couldn't sleep in the night. I was tossing. I thought I'll take tablets to sleep, which is what I do in situations like this. But suddenly I thought, why not pray?" So I started praying and I said, "God, help me to focus on you." And the more I prayed, suddenly I felt a scripture in my heart, "Pastor." I declared it. I said, "Super." "Then what happened?" She said, "Well, it's been 2-3 days now. 50% of my sickness is gone. I'm planning to come to church." I said, "Wow, that's nice." And she said, by the way, I have a feeling that night my healing started." So I said, "Superb." Well, in a few weeks, she was 100% healed out of many years of sickness. You know, all her surgeries and treatments couldn't cure her. But suddenly one night, when she focused on the Lord and the Holy Spirit inspired that spoken word, and she said that scripture under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there was a miracle. These are last days. People are saying these are last days. Jesus is going to sing. I am telling you, these are not only last days, these are last minutes of the last days. Last seconds of the last days. Because last days started in 2000 years ago. Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Last days have started." Anna started last days and went. We are in the last seconds of the last minutes. Now people are concerned, will Antichrist come, 666, when it will come, when beast will come, when dragon will come. Pastor, when the false prophet, two false prophets are coming, is there? No, Pastor, they'll come. No. What about that dragon in the sky, that lady that was there in the sky, everything, how we will handle? I will tell you how to handle today. First of all, you don't worry about Antichrist. Why? The Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that great serpent. You know how they overcome everything? Antichrist, serpent, dragon, 666, beast, false prophet, lady in the sky, all the wails of the angels poured out in the anger of God. Everything, you know how they overcome? Revelation 12 verse 11, let's read. And they conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Doesn't mean I'm a pastor's son. I only gave 10,000 rupees for church construction. No, not that testimony. This is testimony means the gospel of Jesus. They overcame that full battalion of antichrist and demons and evil and false prophets by the blood of Jesus and by the confession that I am a child of God. I believe in the work of the cross. It has, oh my goodness. If they could overcome the antichrist and the beast and the dragon and the demons and all of that by the blood of Jesus and by their faith in the cross of Calvary, can't you overcome that wizard and the lizard of today and that which you can by the power of the Holy Spirit? Why? He that is in you is greater than he. Oh my goodness. This morning I feel we are ready for a battle. You're going to walk in victory in Jesus' name. Close your eyes and say, Father, I receive your word today. Hallelujah. I receive your word today. I receive your word today. Some of you may have gone through losses, which may be natural, which may be somebody cheated you, or maybe that cheating, that betrayal was a part of a demonic warfare. If you sense in your heart, I want to pray with you for a victory in Jesus' name. If you sense in your heart you're going through seasons of unnecessary battles, things that are not normal, things that could have been inspired by the demonic world, I want to pray with you. But for that, before we pray, shall we say, Lord, we surrender our life to you. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, oh, the sword of the Spirit. Father God, let it become our character. Let it become our nature. Some of us, if you were involved in things that are demonic, soul ties, addictions, habits that you took casual and you know it's become a stronghold, ask the Lord, Father, forgive me of those things. I repent. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to those strongholds in my life. Oh, Father God, may your deliverance be on me. In your marriage, in your relationships, indiscipline, short temper, poor attitudes. Sometimes the devil uses those to turn your marriage into dysfunctional. Ask the Lord, Father, I pray for forgiveness. I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to correct myself. Perversions, sexual perversions. Say, God, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what social media says. It doesn't matter what government say. What matters is what your word says. I want to humble myself before your word. I want to have victory in spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. I just feel in my heart to pray with those who may need prayer. If there's anybody here who feels you're going through a season of spiritual warfare, you feel that there's a battle going on, you don't know how to express it, and you need prayer, stand. I want to pray with you. Only such people just stand. If you sense something abnormal, something unusual, some part of your life, and you need prayer, stand. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, today I pray for those who are standing, quite aware that there is a spiritual battle raging to defeat us. But thank you that we can be overcomers, conquerors through Christ our Lord. Right now, Father, I speak your blessing upon your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, every powers of the enemy are rebuked in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wherever you're standing, take a few minutes to say things like this. Number one, Lord, I confess my sins. Thank you for your cleansing on my life. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus with which you have cleansed me. Thank you that you forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I rededicate my life to live according to your word, according to your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you for my deliverance comes from you. For today, I'm claiming back my victory that you gave me on the cross. I completely make it mine today. I receive it, Father. I believe I'm going to see the results in the coming days. Open your mouth and just thank the Lord for a few minutes. Say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you're giving me that victory. Thank you that I'm going to see the results. I'm not going to be discouraged. Even if the battle goes on for long, I will not be discouraged. I will not add. I will not give any help. I'll not cooperate with the demonic world. I'll cooperate with your word. I'll cooperate with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus this morning, every powers of the demonic world, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, by the finished work of the cross of Calvary today, we declare victory in every life. Every spirit of curse, every spirit of bondage, every spirit of unnecessary battles, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that your people are going to see the results and the victory in their relationships, in their families, in their finances, in their future. Thank you for your holy hand. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the people said, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.